Welcome back to Growing in His Word. God bless you guys. And wow, last week was a humdinger sermon. I got a lot of feedback. A lot of false teachers hit me up. As usual. Listen, don't worry about them. God will take care of everybody. Look, He loves everybody. He chastens the ones He loves. He knows the false teachers. He knows the people who are naughty and nice. And so we see the hunger and thirst for believers on growing in His Word, and we love you guys. And, you know, we are teaching verse by verse so that you can grow in God's Word and grow in His Word, and you can enjoy chapter by chapter, verse by verse, minute by minute. Father, we come before You. We thank You for this radical sermon that You're going to preach. Because, Lord, I just need to get out of the way. Lord, help me to decrease while You increase, because that's what it's about, Father. It's about You, Lord, and only You, and Your glory belongs to You, Lord. What a radical day this is, Father, that we can preach Your word in truth and love on others. So, Father, as I move out of the way, Lord, John 14 says that Your Holy Spirit is with us and has aided us. And it's marvelous. And whoa, wow, are You marvelous, Holy Spirit. Oh, how precious You are, Holy Spirit. Father, we thank You for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we have the chapter 21. We left off on verse 13. And, you know, Jesus, before that in 12, verse 12, went into the actual temple of God. And He drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple. Merchandise. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold the doves. And we talked about that last week. We talked about different churches, how they drive out the, believers by selling merch, they call it. Rock stars call it merch, merchandise. You know, it was the shekel back then, and the shekel is still alive today. And the, non-believers would go in there and they would change idols, carved images, for shekels. Or they would upsell on the money changers. They would take the pagan symbols on them for acceptable coins to be used in the temple. And they charged a premium for the service, and those who sold the doves sold them at top prices. And Jesus is making His way to the cross. He's now about to curse the fig tree. I mean, He's not going to say bad words at it. He's going to curse it because it's not bearing fruit. And as believers, we must bear the fruit. But that's what they do, man. They go around and they make churches and they make 501c3s, some of them, not all of them. And they fuss up a storm about money. Or they'll preach on Malachi 3. You're robbing God. You're stealing the tithes and the offerings. And you're going to hell. You didn't give 10%. Or they open coffee houses inside their churches and McDonald's. And they even have Taco Bells in some of them. Heck, I don't know. Whatever it is, it's there. But it's not right. And you may be thinking, oh, don't judge us. Look at Jesus is judging. We talked about this last week. These are some of the rotten pastors, and I'm sorry, we're going to talk about it a little bit more before we move on, but if you go to turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 34, you'll see that Israel had the true shepherds and the false shepherds back then. Throughout the Bible, the shepherd was very important, from David, the shepherd boy who became the first king of Israel, to Jesus Christ, who said of Himself, I am the good shepherd, John chapter 10. And the shepherd represents one who loves and cares for his flock, just as a leader or a ruler cares for them under his charge. Today, believers, we see it in Ezekiel 34. It says, verse 11, for thus the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them. on the mountains of Israel and in the valleys and all the inhabited places of the country. And I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold, feed in rich pastures on the mountains of Israel. But he goes on to talk about, therefore, thus says the Lord God. Later on, he says, I will judge between the fat and the lean sheep. He says that you scattered them. You picked on them. You're the one who did this to the sheep in the churches. Verse 20 says, therefore, thus says the Lord of Ezekiel 35, God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep, because you have pushed with side and shoulder, butted all the weak ones with the horns and scattered them abroad. Therefore, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. My servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David, a prince among them, I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will make a covenant of the peace with them and cause the wild beasts to cease from the land, and they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. You see, believers, God will always be there for you when others are out to get you. In today's modern day society of the corrupt churches, Revelation, and this is what we were talking about, Revelation, it, you know, we see the corrupt churches, but we see they're doing it differently, and they prostitute your talent. Well, I haven't got any. Well, some people have talent. Some people have businesses. Some people have money. And so they get inside the sheep's head and they manipulate them and they prostitute their music or whatever they do. They use it for their glory, for their money. This is the modern day temple that Jesus Christ is talking about in the temple. And a bad church will never show you the money. They'll always divert away from the money. You cannot see the money because you don't tithe here. Well, but I do tithe. Well, you still can't see the real pot of gold. Jesus knows who those people are, and he says, I will judge them, like it says in Ezekiel. I will pour out my judgment, and I will judge between, you know, the true shepherd and the false one. And so as Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem, he's now approaching the fig tree, believers. It's very important because there's no fruit on the tree. And as believers, we're supposed to bear fruit. Jesus says we shall bear fruit is the key. Listen. And now that we see the verse 14 says, if Matthew chapter 21 says, the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things he did, and the children crying out in the temple, you see, the children, Jesus loves the children. But the children were crying out in the temple, and they were saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. And they were indignant and said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. In Hebrew, ken. Have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes, nursing infants, you perfected praise. Well, 17 says, then he left them and he went out to the city of Bethany and he lodged there. Okay, so now he stayed. Now he's in Bethany and he stayed there. And now he's there. And the, the infants that were crying out, which is in Psalms 8:2, is quoted here. And the infants expresses praise in the face of the enemies. And so the idea here, though, is that Jesus abandoned the chief priests and the scribes and the temple and the city of Jerusalem. Instead of welcoming their Messiah, the religious authorities rejected and opposed him. And so now we see the opposition. And as a believer, you're going to be challenged, so to speak. you're going to be pushed. Well, he's a good doer. Stay away from him. He knows too much. Don't hang out with him and don't talk to him. He is a dirty rat. He knows our stuff. Don't make any contact with him, and don't let him come over here. He'll contaminate the waters. This is what we're seeing today in the churches. Not all of them, but 90% of them. And that's what it's supposed to say, because the Church of Laodicea is here. Revelation, I believe, is opening up before our own eyes. And we can see how Revelation is even opening up before our own very eyes. For instance, we see the Euphrates River. It's dried up. It's getting dry. God says when it dries up in Revelation, God's going to release those angels, those nasty angels. And they're going to do some harm. We're seeing it. So don't expect your heart to be broken when you see churches that you really love that are not really there. They're liars. It's evident. It's supposed to happen, believers. But judgment's coming, because God will judge everybody, and he sees everything. And so there were two cleansing of the temple, and they were recorded in the Gospels, one in John chapter 2, verse 14 and then through 17, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and one in the symbolic Gospels at the end of his ministry in Mark chapter 11. And so that's that, man. I'm just so excited. So listen, here's the deal. Jesus is now camping out, and he's in Bethany, and he's lodged there. He's lodged there, and now in the morning, in verse 18, it says, in the morning, as he returns to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it, and he found nothing on it but leaves. And he said to it, let no fruit grow on you ever again. Okay, he cursed it. Immediately, the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? And Jesus answered and said to them, surely I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing it, and you will receive it. Jesus is saying, look, don't worry. Don't worry about nothing, man. I'm going to be faithful to you, but we got to bear fruit. We got to bear fruit, man. We got to be in the Word. We have to be in God's will. He was hungry. Jesus was hungry. Are you hungry? Jesus is saying, are you hungry for my Word? Jesus desired to eat of the fruit of the fig tree one more time, you guys, before he died on the cross, but he could not. Because the fig trees don't bear the fruit in the springtime during Pesach, Passover. But in the fall of the year, however, the fig trees, they're a little bit edible, a small, you know, whatever. But the fruit wasn't there. And that's what I'm trying to talk about. You'll know them by the fruit that they bear. Jesus couldn't get any fruit off that tree. And he's telling his disciples, look, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe it and you'll receive it. Have faith. The tree may wither, but our relationship with Jesus Christ will not wither away. Ever. And the disciples were laughing. They were marveling, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? And Jesus was politely telling them, well, how did your faith wither away so soon? Look, man, God knows everything, believers. He knows exactly what we want. He loves us. He wants a relationship with us. He wants fruit to grow on us so that we believers can share that fruit with non-believers. So that we can educate non-believers and tell them, look, God loves you. You don't have to do that. You don't have to live a life like that. You can make a better choice. Listen, the fruit is beautiful. And Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the light. The fig tree is radical. Because Adam and Eve were under the fruit, under the tree, the fig tree, and they sinned against God. And God knew exactly what they were doing. God said, why are you naked? Because they sinned against him. The fig tree represents God's deep, deep knowledge of your lies, of who you really are. And he says, I want to cleanse them. I want to cleanse you. I want to take that nasty nothing that you have and make beautiful fruit. But you got to have faith. Jesus is saying you got to have faith. Look, the fig tree is very, very important because God knows the roots of our deep, hidden, most innermost chambers in our minds. He knows what we think, he knows what we want, and he knows what we need. And so he says, just like the birds need to eat, I will feed the birds. Are you of no more value than the bird? Listen, God knows us, bro. He feeds the birds. He knows every deep intention in our life. That's why I preach about a lot of false teachers, a lot of false churches, not to pick on them. I don't do that to hurt people. It's the Lord in me saying, look, repent. You can repent. But some can't. And those are the ones I was talking about in Ezekiel. How God's going to separate them from the wolves and the sheep, the goats and the sheep. Remember when Nathanael asked Jesus, remember when John 1, chapter 1, or I believe it was, Nathanael under the fig tree. And he asked Jesus, Jesus answered, hey, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree when Philip called you. How did he know that? Because Jesus knew exactly who he was and what he wanted and what he was thinking. And when he was praying under the fig tree. And Jesus heard his cries. He heard his prayers. Man, you can't let the fig tree pass you by. They're good for your intestines, by the way. But don't eat too much. You'll be on your own throne. But here's the deal. Listen, God is in control. And he knows what we're thinking. And he knows what we want. And here he's saying, look, have faith that I will heal you, restore you. Ask and you will receive. But also you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and it'll be done. He's not saying that he's just basically saying, have faith. Relax. I'm coming back. Jesus says, I'm coming back. Look, he loves us and he knows what we want. And whatever things we ask in prayer, believing, you will receive it. And verse 23 says, now when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him. There's the opposition. Believers, you're going to be confronted about the gospel. You're going to see confrontation. But you got to keep going. You got to don't worry about it. Listen, You can't let the enemy destroy your walk. You can't let Satan plant thoughts in your mind. You can't let the devil run with your emotions. Listen, believers, 23 says, now when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching. And he said, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? They're already coming at him. The rabbis and the chief priests are already coming at him. They're stuck in the halacha, in the law. But Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. In the baptism of John, verse 25 of John, where was it from? He's asking, from heaven or from men? So Jesus is making that distinction. You got the world, but I'm from heaven, man. I come from the heavenly places. John, remember, John was a forerunner. But and they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, well, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? See, because they already knew. Going to try to trip up Jesus again. But if we say from men, we fear the multitude. For all count John as a prophet. Listen to this. So they answered Jesus and said, well, we don't know. In Hebrew, ani lo yodea. And he said to them, well, neither I tell you by what authority I do these things either. God doesn't have to explain anything to us. That's cruel. No, it's not. He made us. He loves us. Do you take your kid from the candy store when their teeth are rotting out? I mean, you see certain kids, the kids scream and they want that candy. Why do I need the candy? More taffy. And their teeth are stinking rotten and they don't take their kids to the dentist. And they're just, they can die of an infection. Well, what does that have to do with the word? God does what he wants with us because he loves us. We don't have to. He can take our candy from us. He can take the bad things from us and make it good. He can restore us. And here he's doing this. He's saying, I don't have to answer you then. He's God. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Jesus Christ is the Father. He is the Son and he's the Holy Spirit. He's three and one. He is the awesome, the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega, and he's in love with us. Listen, don't get depressed. Don't be sad. Jesus Christ is in love with you. Don't be upset because you lost your job or you did this. Just rest and continue to seek what God's provisions is in your life. And he will bless you, believers. He knows what you want. Just remember the fig tree. Just remember the fig tree and bear much fruit. Bear much fruit because Jesus says, apart from you, me and you, I can do nothing without fruit. He needs the fruit. He is the fruit. Where do I get the fruit, Yos? Well, the fruit is in your word. The fruit is in the body of Christ, the real body. Not the ones that are pulling your chain for money. The real churches, the ones that care about you. This is the system. It's a relationship. Fig trees, they signify sins. And Nathaniel, when he was under the fig tree, under the shadow of death, he was praying. And he came to Nathaniel and he knew what he wanted. Here we see the fig tree. He knows our sins and he's saying, look, I'm going to go to the cross soon. But I'm hungry. I want to eat before I die. And so he's signifying this hunger with the thirst that he's saying, I'm hungry. Feed from me. I will become the fruit of a different tree, the tree of life. Your fig tree may wither, but I am the life. I am the real life. Drink of me. And you'll never thirst. Eat of me and you'll never hunger. This is what he told the woman at the well, the Samaritan. Drink of my water and you will never thirst again, woman. Drink and you will be filled. Fill with my Holy Spirit. Amazing. Isn't it so amazing that a lot of false believers and teachers don't experience that beautiful thirst of the Holy Spirit and what it can do in our life? Drink of me, thus says the Lord Jesus. I have the authority, Jesus says. I have the one. I am the one that can turn water, into wine. 5,000 fish, feed the 5,000, more than 5,000. Jesus did the miracles. And he did it here again. And he's saying, but what do you think, he says, about these two sons? And next week, we're going to get into the two sons. This is the parable of the two sons. But Jesus here, he's saying, I love you. Don't leave without me. Women, quit chasing men. Chase me, Jesus says. Chase or have a relationship with me. Open up your heart to me. Don't fight me no more. Jeez, it's like being in the ocean, man. Years ago, I was surfing and I couldn't. A big old 8-foot wave hit me, man. I'm like, oh my Lord, what am I going to do? All the way to the bottom. I get back up. I can't get up and I'm breathing hard and boom, another one hits me. I'm back on the ground. I can't even move my arms now. The surfers are laughing at me. They're like, this guy's crazy. My board's off the leash. It's out. It's in the ocean. It's gone. I don't know where it's at. My wet suit's filled up with water. And I just said, Lord, don't let me die this way. Don't let me die this way. And he said, Yos, surrender to me. I said, I'm tired. He said, that's where I want you. I want you tired. Because you can't do it on your own. Listen, non-believers, you can't do it on your own. Jesus says you need me. And the moment that I just surrendered, man, I mean, I didn't give up. I just said, I got to go to the bottom for a while and hold my breath and relax my arms so I could swim back up. I sunk to the bottom and there was like an undertow that just rolled me back to the shore and spit me out like Jonah almost. And God said, Yos, submit to me. I don't force my ways on anyone. But bear the fruit. I know your sins, and I can forgive you. And I was making deals with him at the bottom of the ocean. Please, Lord, don't let me die here. I'll do anything. I'll go out there and I'll serve you. And, well, I'm here. God will honor us if it's his will, and what we want are, you know, what he wants for us. We don't need a message that says, oh, money, money, money by the pound. You know, trust in me and you'll get these riches. We don't need sermons like that. We need the truth. And the truth is Jesus Christ is going, he's there for you. No matter what you're going through, if it's alcoholism, if it's sin, God will serve you. He will take your sins away and bury them in the bottom of the ocean. And that's what he told me. Yos, get on your knees and thank me now. I saved your life. I did. And he buried my sins in the bottom of the ocean. And he never brings them up, the Bible says, and throws them in your face, because Romans chapter 8 says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Satan, he condemns us, but Jesus Christ will convict us. And he's saying to you today, will you throw your arms in the air? Will you say, I'm done, I'm finished, I can't do anymore. I can't swim anymore. Oh, Lord, I need you. I'm under the fig tree. My sins are rabid. I'm a wretched person. I can't do it, Lord. Jesus is saying, will you take my hand and have faith and receive me? This is what Jesus is saying. Receive me and I will gladly live inside you, and I will dwell in you until the end of your life. We'll have a radical relationship. And that's what Jesus wants. He wants a relationship. He doesn't want your money. He wants a relationship. Father, we come before you. Lord, we thank you. Oh, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this book. And we thank you for this time. We love you, Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray that those people who don't know you right now, that they receive you. And they pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I'm a sinner. I want to know you and I want to be born again. Forgive me for my sins. Receive me now. I don't want to sin anymore. Take them away from me. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. And listen, until next time, we're going to talk about the two guys. You know, this is a parable. Parable of the two sons, man. And, it's going to be radical. And then we're going to get into the landowners, the parable of the landowners. God bless you guys, man. And listen, growing in his word is in love with you. Feel free to write me email. And may God bless you guys. And may the Lord have peace on your hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.